నమో మహాపదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామనే గౌరత్వశే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరితే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వీఆర్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ ఫ్యూ పేజెస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్స్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ టు హిస్ భగవద్గీత యాజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్. We are at the beginning of page 31. Prabhupada has concluded the most important subject in 7 pages of remembering him, of always thinking of him. Why this process is so important? What are the consequences of thinking about him on one hand and about other things on the other hand, and how we can go about practically remembering Krishna in our day-to-day life. And then he moves on to the next theme, which is that anyone can do it. There is no restriction, there is no material barrier. So this is the theme which he will commence now for one paragraph. So let's read from the top of page 31. And when we come to the verse, 2 verses, we'll chant together. The Lord further says, Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, texts 32 and 33. Mam hi partha vyapashritya yepi syuh papayo nayah striyo vaishyas tatha shudras తేపి యాంతి పరాం గతిం కిం పునర్బ్రాహ్మణ పుణ్య భక్త రాజర్షయస్తథా అనిత్యం అసుఖం లోకం ఇమం ప్రాప్య భజస్వమాం. Thus the Lord says that even a merchant, a fallen woman, or a laborer, or even human beings in the lowest status of life can attain the supreme. One does not need a highly developed intelligence. The point is that anyone who accepts the principle of Bhakti Yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life, as the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. If one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Unquote. So Prabhupada is saying, whoever it may be, in any category of life, can achieve perfection in life by following the Bhagavad Gita. If one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to the problems of life. And this applies for everyone. And to illustrate this, he quotes these 2 verses from Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, in which it is said that all kinds of people, it's not just the brahmanas, but even the Vaishyas, Shudras, everybody can attain perfection. If they just have to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and they have to have faith in the process of devotional service. So what then to speak? Krishna says, Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayas tatha. What then to speak of those who are highly qualified brahmanas, who are great saintly kings, great devotees of the Lord? What then to speak of such people? Even if ordinary people who may not be considered very highly developed in terms of spiritual intelligence can achieve perfection, what then to speak of these highly evolved souls? So the only consideration is we must have some faith. We must accept the process of Krishna consciousness. Then everyone in this world can make his or her life successful. The ultimate perfection of life is possible through this. Think of any category of life. Think of the most exalted. Think of the most fallen. Think of men, think of women, think of animals, birds, shudras, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas. You will find some examples in history. Any examples from different categories of life of those who became great devotees, even though they may have belonged to other categories of human society or life on this in this world? Mrigari, he was a very fallen person, very sinful, but he accepted faithfully. When Narad Muni told him that you just stay here, worship Tulasi, chant Hare Krishna, he stayed and he followed his spiritual master's instruction faithfully. He had faith in the practice of devotional service, so his life became successful. Any others? Gajendra. Gajendra was an elephant, but he offered wonderful prayers to the Lord and perfected his life because he had faith that by offering prayers to Krishna like this, his life could become perfect, he could be delivered. Yes. Ajamil. Ajamil was a Dvija Bandhu. Originally he was a Dvija, he was a Brahmana. But because of having got into wrong association, he became fallen. So he was not exactly a Brahmana by qualification later on. But then, even though he was in such a fallen condition, he chanted the name of Narayan. What is his credit? Someone may say, well, he wasn't calling out the Lord's name, he was calling out his son's name. But still, what is his credit? He gave his son the name Narayan. He didn't give some other mundane name. So that was his credit. Why did he give his son the name of God? Because he had that pious credit before. So in this way one can go on giving example after example of those from different statuses of life who achieve perfection by taking up the process of the Bhagavad Gita.
How about
Valmiki? Valmiki, yes, of course. Valmiki is in the category of Mrigari also. He was called Ratnakar before. And he also encountered Narad Muni. A similar story, very similar to Mrigari. He was a dacoit. And he began to chant the holy name of the Lord in pursuance of the instructions of Narad Muni. And he became a great saint. So numerous instances exist like this. So then what to speak of devotees in ISKCON who are sincerely trying to achieve perfection by practicing Krishna consciousness? All we need to do is to be faithful to the process and faithful to Krishna. Then all perfection can be achieved. Now, Srila Prabhupada will begin discussing the famous Gita Mahatmya prayers in glorification of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, so far Prabhupada has given an introduction to the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. He has mentioned its importance, its relevance to all of us in modern day life. No doubt the Bhagavad Gita is the most important book for humanity. It's the one book that we would like to have if we were stranded on the proverbial desert island all alone. It's the one book that is the complete solution to all problems of this world. It's probably the most famous spiritual book that is most often quoted, certainly the most famous among all the Vedic scriptures. So therefore it is natural that many people have glorified it. In the Padma Purana, there is a Gita Mahatmya, where Vyasadeva, the author of Mahabharata and the Puranas, glorifies the Bhagavad Gita chapter by chapter. Similarly, there is also another work called the Vaishnaviya Tantra, which is a conversation between Suta Goswami and the sages, in which Suta Goswami glorifies the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, there is another work by Shankaracharya. Yes, the same Shankaracharya who propagated monism, which also glorified the Bhagavad Gita. That is also called the Gita Mahatmya. That has 7 verses. And it is this Gita Mahatmya of Shankaracharya that Prabhupada is quoting here. Prabhupada often says that because Shankaracharya is actually an incarnation of Lord Shiva, so he is a great devotee. He is a disguised devotee. And his prayers, like the Bhaja Govindam prayers, are ample evidence of this. However, we should certainly not read or hear his Sharira Bhashya, his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is full of word jugglery to establish the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth. So now we'll be distributing these sheets. You can take them away with you when you leave. Keep them nicely. File them up and read it every day. And Gita Mahatmya will tell you the benefit of doing such recitation. Can somebody give the back to the Matajis also? And in your different parts, one for each. Give one section to the Matajis, please. So we will chant responsibly. I will chant, and you chant, I chant, and you chant. Prabhupada has quoted verse numbers 2 to 7 completely, and the first verse he has just left out a very small portion. So we have included that here, whatever 3 or 4 words were missing from what Prabhupada has quoted in the introduction. And then we'll discuss each verse while reading Prabhupada's translation of it. Give little quickly, please. Okay, so we'll start reciting. Gita Shastramidam Punyam Yah Pathe Prayatah Puman Vishnu Padam Avapnoti Bhaya Shokadi Varjitah Gita Dhyayana Shilasya Pranayama parasya cha Naiva santihi papani Purva janma kritani cha Maline mochanam punsa Jalasnanam dine dine Sakrat Gita Amrita Snanam Samsara Malanashanam Gita Sugita Kartavya Kim Anyahi Shastra Vistare Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita Bharatamrita Sarvasvam Vishnu Vaktradvinisritam Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punar Janmana Vidyate Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopalanandanaha Partho Vatsah Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrastasya Namani Yani Karma Apyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Of course, the Mahamantra was not written by Shankaracharya. Just added that. So let's start Prabhupada's description and discussion on the Gita Mahatmya, page 31. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastram Idam Punyam Yah Pathet Prayatah Puman. If one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. Bhaya Shokadi Varjitah. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. Gita Mahatmya 1. So let's read the first verse in the translation. Gita Shastram Idam Punyam Yah Pathe Prayatah Puman Vishnoh Padam Vapnoti Bhaya Shokadi Varjitah. So this material world is a place of misery, as we all know, and as we are all so apt to forget. Everywhere in the scriptures and also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reminds us again and again about the nature of this world. This material world has been designed for misery. It's designed, programmed to give us suffering so that we may eventually go back to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Aggrieved by so many different problems in life, the living entities here struggle to solve their problems. But Prahlad Maharaj says that any so-called such solutions actually end up being bigger problems than the original problem themselves. In other words, the cure is worse than the disease. This is the problem with all cures and all solutions in this material world. The only solution that is permanent is Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna explains, Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshyamyanusuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnyatva mokshase ashubhat. O my dear Arjuna, this knowledge is guhyatamam. most confidential. The word guhya in Sanskrit means secret. Now there are three gradations of anything. So when applied, this is called taratam jnana. Taratama. Good, better, best. So for confidentiality also, one can say there is guhya jnana, confidential knowledge, guhya tara jnana, more confidential knowledge, guhya tama jnana, most confidential knowledge. So the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is more or less like a preamble to the whole book. In the second chapter, Krishna explains some confidential knowledge, guhya jnana, about the soul and the body and so on. Later in the 7th and 8th chapters, when he goes on to explain devotional service in general, about his opulences and so on, he is explaining more confidential knowledge, guhya tara jnana. And when he comes to the 9th chapter, then he is now going to explain most confidential knowledge. Because in the 9th chapter, Krishna talks about pure devotional service. So this verse, idam te guhyatamam, is the first verse of the 9th chapter. So Krishna explains, idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. Pravakshami means I am telling, I am speaking. Te, I am speaking unto you, because anasuyave, because you are free from envy. By knowing this, by hearing and understanding this knowledge and this realization, jnanam vijnana sahitam yad jnatva, having known this, mokshase, you will become free from ashubhat, all the miserable things of this material existence. So therefore, the purpose of learning Bhagavad Gita is to become permanently free from misery. That is the characteristic of this material world. And here also, the same thing is being explained. That if one regularly studies, follows the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, pathet, pathan means to recite, to read, to study regularly, then one can be freed from all miseries. Bhaya, shoka, adi, varjitaha. Bhaya means fear. Shoka means lamentation. Adi means etc. Varjitaha means free from, without. So by regularly reciting and studying the Bhagavad Gita, one can become permanently free from the lamentation and miseries and fears of this world. So this is the essence of this verse. One must try to regularly read the Bhagavad Gita, to chant the Bhagavad Gita. Because this material world is a place of misery, and the Bhagavad Gita is the permanent solution to all problems of misery here. Mam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmanaha Samsiddhim Paramam Kataha. Krishna says again, my dear Arjuna, Mam Upetya Punarjanma Na Apnuvanti Mahatmanaha. He says, upon obtaining me, O Arjuna, Mam Upetya Punarjanma Na Apnuvanti. There is no more birth and death. For whom? For the Mahatmas, the Mahatmanaha. Because it's only the great souls who can obtain me. Samsiddhim paramam gataha. And therefore they attain the ultimate perfection of reaching my abode in the spiritual world. And they give up this dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This material world that is full of dukkha or misery and which is temporary. Ashashvatam. Shashvat means eternal. Ashashvatam means temporary. So every day we must yah pathet prayatah puman. We must regularly read and study the Bhagavad Gita every day. But Srila Prabhupada cautions in his teachings that our recitation should not be simply like a parrot. You can teach a parrot to say so many things. Good morning, good morning, good morning. The parrot can say that. But actually, does the parrot mean it? When he's addressing you and says good morning, does the parrot really mean good morning to you? He's just saying it because he has been taught to speak like that. Similarly, you can teach a parrot how to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So he will get some benefit because he's chanting Hare Krishna. But that chanting will not immediately bring him devotion. It will bring him some sukriti. One day he will become a devotee. But immediately by chanting like this, he will not become a devotee. Because Prabhupada says, let him chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but catch his throat. And immediately you will hear a loud squeak. And he will make all kinds of squeaking sounds. And no more Hare Krishna. So similarly, Prabhupada says, if we are mechanically reciting like a parrot the Bhagavad Gita or the holy names, then at the time of death, when death personified will catch our throat, then all we'll be able to come up with are squeaking sounds. The Upanishads contain so many descriptions of the moment of death and the different kinds of things that happen, the different kinds of deaths that take place. But unless one has focused one's mind on Krishna very strongly, one will not be able to talk coherently and think clearly at the time of death about Krishna. Let us see Srila Prabhupada's example when he departed from here, just here in this very temple. Till the very last moment he was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was completely in control of his faculties. Although his body was not at all in a good condition, but nevertheless, his consciousness was perfectly pure and fixed on Krishna. That was because of his lifetime of cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So our recitation of the Gita that we do every day as a practice must be very religiously, very properly done. And the test of doing that actually is that we should follow the instructions of the Gita. So yah pathet prayatah puman doesn't simply mean that we should mechanically recite, but it means that we should also follow the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. Then we will achieve the true benefit of our recitation. Gitam Gita Shastram Idam Punyam. The Gita is in and of itself a very pure book. It's punya. Even if someone doesn't read it with a devotional mentality but is not envious, then he will at least be elevated to higher planets. If nothing, at least he will be protected from sin. Blind recitation will not be very useful in the path of devotion. Srila Prabhupada one time also narrated the story of the Brahmana and the prostitute. The Brahmana was very expert in reciting the scriptures, and every day he would sit outside his house with the scriptures in front of him and he would recite. He was expert in pronouncing the mantras. He knew all the different melodies and he knew all the how to modulate the voice when chanting different kinds of mantras and everything. But his attention was always on who was coming and going from the house of the prostitute who lived across the street. So at the time of death, the Yamadutas came to the Brahmana. And he said, no, you've come to the wrong place. Maybe you want to go to my neighbor's house. That's where you should go, not me. So the Yamadutas looked at their books and they said, no, we've come to the right address. We have not made any mistake. But I've been chanting these mantras and these scriptures for years and years together. But still the Yamadutas said, sorry, we have to take you. They didn't take away the prostitute. They took away this Brahmana. So mechanical chanting mechanical recitation, while it may give some incidental side benefits, is not the real thing. One has to recite, understand, and follow the instructions that is given by Krishna. When Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, then we must ask ourselves, Man mana, am I always thinking of Krishna? Bhava mad bhaktaha, have I become his devotee? Madhyaji, am I worshipping him? Mam namaskuru, am I regularly offering obeisances to him in the temple? So in this way, by following Krishna's instructions regularly, that is the real recitation of the Bhagavad Gita. So let's go on to the next one. We'll read further. Gita dhyayana shilasya pranayama parasya cha naiva santehi papani purva janma kritani cha. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Gita Mahatmya, text 2. So, here we hear some more on how we should recite the Bhagavad Gita. It is said here that we should study sincerely and with all seriousness. Actually, the study of the Bhagavad Gita is also worship. In the 18th chapter, Krishna has explained that one who studies this sacred conversation actually worships me with his intelligence. So worship can be of different kinds. We can worship Krishna with the gross material elements. Can you give an example of how we worship Krishna with the gross material elements? Yes? During the Arati ceremony, when we offer the incense, what are we offering? We are offering the earth element, right? Then when we offer the ghee lamp, what are we offering? We are offering the fire element. Then we offer water in the conch shell, we are offering the water element. Then we are also with the fan, the peacock feather, we are offering the air element, the ether element. So the Panch Mahabhuta, the five gross elements, we offer at the Arati ceremony. The mind we offer to Krishna by thinking of him. How do we offer our intelligence? How do we worship Krishna with our intelligence? So Krishna says, by studying my books. By studying this sacred conversation, by studying books like the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on, we are actually performing worship. If there is a pujari who is performing arati, and while he's performing arati, his mind is elsewhere, his heart is not in the puja, then such worship will not be of much benefit. In the same way, when we are studying the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, if our heart is not in it, if we are not serious and sincere and faithful while doing it, then it will not be of much use. So it is very important that we should somehow or other try to study this every day with great attention and faith. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu kvachit bhagavata sevaya. Right? No? Sorry, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Kvachit means sometimes, by mistake you just do it. No. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day we should study. And what should we study? We should study the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavat is of two kinds. The person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. Krishna Katha, Prabhupada explains, is of two kinds. There is talks by Krishna and there are talks about Krishna. So talks about Krishna are the Srimad Bhagavatam and the talks by Krishna is the Bhagavad Gita. So both are Krishna Katha and we should study both kinds of books very carefully every day. And then we will develop. The Bhagavat is of two kinds, the person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. Krishna Katha, Prabhupada explains, is of two kinds. There is talks by Krishna and there are talks about Krishna. So talks about Krishna are the Srimad Bhagavatam and the talks by Krishna is the Bhagavad Gita. So both are Krishna Katha and we should study both kinds of books very carefully every day. And then we will develop strong faith in the process. Regular reading like this is our shield, is our protection against sinful activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, also, in many places actually, time does not permit us to go into all these different verses. Krishna has mentioned the word anusuya in many verses. And he says that one who studies the Bhagavad Gita with great faith without envy can immediately become freed from sinful activities and he can attain to the planets where the pious dwell. So even if you don't accept it in a devotional spirit, but shraddhavan anusuyascha shrinuyad api yo naraha. So shrinuyad means you hear, but you hear with some degree of faith, shraddhavan. At the same time you are free from envy. Still, you will become freed from envy and you will go to attain the higher planets like the Swargaloka and so on. So imagine, even for a person who doesn't read with devotion, he goes to Swargaloka. So what would be the destination of one who reads with devotion? He will go to the Vaikuntha Loka. The devotee has no business with Swarga. The devotee is headed for the highest destination, and that is the spiritual world. No amount of sin can touch. Those who punish the living entities for sin cannot approach such devotees. There is another verse composed by somebody else. Perhaps it is by Shankaracharya. Bhagavad Gita kinchit dhita ganga jal lava kanika pita sakrit api yena murari samarcha. He says that if one studies Bhagavad Gita even a little bit, Bhagavad Gita kinchit dhita, adhita means to study, so dhita means even a little bit if one studies the Bhagavad Gita, sakrit eva murari samarcha. Even casually, one time, one worships Lord Murari or Krishna. Ganga jala lava kanika pita. One drinks even a little bit of Ganga water. Triyeta yatasya yamena na charcha. With these three things, one will not have to argue with the Yamadutas at the time of death, like the Brahmana had to do. Say, no, you shouldn't come to me, it's not me, it's the other one, go there. Even Ajamil had to get into such an argument. So for one who actually faithfully studies Bhagavad Gita, the Yamaraj, the Yamadutas are told it is out of bounds. Don't approach the devotee. Don't go to the place where this person is studying the Bhagavad Gita. That is not your territory. Your territory is for those who don't accept the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So many times, because the word anusuya is used, we understand that it is important to be free from envy. So the question may be asked that many times in our ISKCON society, devotees give open class, and there are many people seated there in the audience, and not all are devotees. This is a different audience. This is an audience exclusively of devotees. But when you go outside, you may not have such an audience all the time. Only a handful may be devotees. So then, when Krishna says that my message must be given only to those who are free from envy, why do we go out and speak Bhagavad Gita in the public? Who would answer this question? Yes. But that verse is for the devotees, Krishna says, not for everyone. Here, one answer is that Krishna says in the 18th chapter that whoever speaks this message is very dear to me. But whoever speaks this message to my devotees is very dear to me. What about those who speak to non-devotees? Yes. One is because the devotees are more merciful than Krishna, very correct. Because Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that we should go everywhere and speak the message of Krishna. Very correct. And second, if anyone hears Bhagavad Gita, they will be purified. Yes, but then Krishna says, don't speak to the envious. So why are we speaking to non-devotees? The answer is that even if someone is a non-devotee, he may also be non-envious. It's just that he or she doesn't have knowledge of Krishna, that's all. There are others who are envious of Krishna, so we shouldn't talk to them. But there may be those who, because of not having knowledge about Krishna, have not become devotees. But they're not envious either. So when they hear the message from a bona fide devotee of the Lord, who is coming in the proper parampara, because they are naturally not envious, they accept that message in their life. And then they also become devotees. Even in that first verse of the 9th chapter that I quoted, there also Krishna uses the word anasuyave. Asuya means envy. Anasuya means free from envy. So if one studies the Bhagavad Gita in this mood, then one will become free from all sinful reaction. This is our kavach. Without this mood of sincerity and service and faith, one study of the Bhagavad Gita will not be very fruitful. Prabhupada gives the example in the earlier portion of the introduction of someone licking a bottle of honey from the outside. If you want to taste the honey, you have to open the lid of the bottle, you have to put your finger inside and then lick it, and then you will get the taste of honey. So similarly, you have to dive into the Bhagavad Gita. We cannot just superficially do something mechanically without faith. But if we put our heart into it, study the Bhagavad Gita devotionally, then the results will be tremendous. Then Srila Prabhupada quotes this famous Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse to illustrate this second verse. The Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami Mashuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him, and he indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins. Unquote. So in other words, Who can gain the complete benefit of studying the Bhagavad Gita? A surrendered soul. When one is surrendered to Krishna, one follows instructions and devotionally reads the Bhagavad Gita every day, then one will attain the ultimate destination. There is no doubt about this. Even if someone is not a great scholar, it doesn't matter. We have heard the story many times before, perhaps, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to South India, and at Kurukshetra he comes, at Sri Rangam he comes across a Brahmana who is studying the Bhagavad Gita, and he doesn't know how to recite it properly. He's not a very scholarly Brahmana, and the other Brahmanas make fun of him. They tease him, but this Brahmana continues to faithfully read. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to ask him, "My dear Brahmana, what are you reading and why?" He said, "I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita because my spiritual master asked me to study one chapter every day. So I'm doing it without fail. Even though I don't understand many things and I can't pronounce very clearly." And then Mahaprabhu asked him, "Then why are tears coming from your eyes as you're reading the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "As I read the words, I remember the speaker, Krishna. And I try to imagine that here is the Supreme Lord of all Lords, the Lord of all the universes, who has descended to this earth planet and has become the servant of his devotee, Arjuna. He has become his charioteer and is driving him everywhere on the battlefield. Like an ordinary menial servant, he is serving his devotee. Although he is so great, although he is so glorious. And this remembrance, this thought moves me to tears." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, "Actually, amongst all these Brahmanas, you are the only one who has really understood the Bhagavad Gita. Even though you may not be such a big scholar in the estimation of the world, but you have understood the essence, you have fulfilled the purpose of reading and studying the Bhagavad Gita. You have developed pure love for the Lord. Because you are a surrendered soul, your guru asked you to read one chapter every day and you are very faithfully following that instruction. And you have faith in Krishna, you have faith in the Gita, you have faith in the words of the great devotees. And therefore you have achieved the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita." So that is the mood in which we should also read the Bhagavad Gita, as an act of surrender, as an act of devotion for our purification. Then the full fruit of studying will emerge. So let's read the next verse. Actually, each of these verses is so nice, it's worthy of discussion for a separate lecture in itself. But because it's only quoted here, so we'll only discuss each verse briefly. This third verse is also very nice. Maline mochanam punsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gitamritasnanam sansara malanashanam. One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water. But if one takes a bath, even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Gita Mahatmya, verse 3. Maline mochanam punsam jalasnanam dine dine. Maline, mala. Mala means dirt. Mochanam means to purify, to clean. Punsa means human beings, a person. Jalasnanam, by taking a bath with water, dine dine, every day. So every day we all take a bath with water and cleanse the dirt from our bodies. But this bath has to be taken every day, like the Bhagavad Gita, no doubt, but it only purifies the body. It is, of course, necessary to take bath every day. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't take a bath. It doesn't mean that by comparing it unfavorably, we are being told that we shouldn't take a bath every day. We should. But nevertheless, such a bath will only cleanse the body. But what can cleanse the consciousness? What can cleanse the mind? That is more difficult to clean. What soap, what detergent powder is available that can reach into our heart to clean inside? So that is the Bhagavad Gita. Sakrit Gita Amrita Snanam. Even once, Sakrit. Sakrit means even once if you take bath in the nectar of the Gita, Sansara Malanashanam. The dirt of this sansara, of this material existence, will be destroyed. That means all the bad karmas, all the sinful activities, the contamination in our consciousness will be cleansed. Generally, people in the path of karma kanda perform what is called the process of prayaschitta or atonement for sinful activities. In the karma kanda scriptures, there are injunctions for overcoming sinful reactions. For a particular kind of sins, you have to atone in a particular way. And by doing that, you will overcome the reaction to that particular sin. But then the problem is that there are hundreds of sins that one may commit. How much of atonement can one keep on doing? And the propensity for committing sin is not destroyed by such atonement. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 5th canto, Shukadev Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikshit the different varieties of hellish planets and the suffering that the sinful souls will undergo in these hellish planets. Parikshit Maharaj, being a devotee of the Lord, is very much concerned when he hears of all the terrible suffering that all the living entities will have to undergo when they go to hell. So he wants to know, is there no way that these living entities who are here in this material world can be protected or prevented from going to hell? What can be done for their deliverance? How can they be protected from their sinful reactions once and for all? And he says this path of atonement is not good. This prayaschitta, as per the karma kanda process, is not good. He says, drishtva shrutabhyam yat papam janan appi atmano ahitam karoti bhuyo vivashaha prayaschittam athokatham. He says, first of all, drishtva, one may see that someone has committed a sin, say like a theft, and he has got beaten. One may hear, shrutva, that it is not good to steal. You will get beaten, you will get arrested. So, drishtva shrutabhyam yat papam. One may hear about it, one may see it, that someone who is committing a sin actually becomes subject to punishment, ahitam. But nevertheless, karoti bhuyaha vivashaha. He still continues to do that sinful activity helplessly, bhuyaha, again and again. Vivashaha means helplessly. Prayaschittam atho katham. So what then is the use of such atonement? Because even though the sin may be cleansed, but the tendency to commit sin is still there. And even after undergoing atonement, and even after one has heard and seen so many times, but still one continues to do that. Prabhupada says there are four kinds of people in this world. The first class is most intelligent. They simply hear from the scripture that this is sinful activity, we should not do it, and they stop doing it. They save themselves of much trouble and misery. The second category says, Well, all right. I agree that if someone commits a sin or a crime like this, this will be the punishment, but I want to see for myself first. So then this person sees someone stealing, sees him getting beaten, and then he says, yes, now I will not steal. Second category. Then comes the third category. Someone, he hears about it, he sees someone getting beaten after stealing, but he says, he got caught, maybe I won't get caught. So let me steal, and if I get beaten, then I'll stop. So he steals, he gets beaten, and then he says, I'll stop, no more. I'll no longer commit any theft in future. But then there is a fourth category. What's the fourth category? Karoti bhuyah vivashaha. He sees, he hears, he experiences punishment, but still helplessly goes on doing the same mistake again and again. So therefore, Prabhupada urges everyone to be in the first category. Just hear, understand, and obey. And then Parikshit Maharaj goes on to say, Kvachin nivartate bhadrat, kvachin charati tat punaha, prayaschittam atho partham, manye kunjara shauchavat. He says, sometimes a person who is engaged in this path of prayaschitta, nivartate abhadrat, sometimes he is able to avoid sin, kvachit charati tat punaha, and sometimes he commits sin. So sometimes he is able to avoid it, sometimes he does it. So what is the value of such atonement? I think, Parikshit Maharaj says, it's like a kunjara shaucha, shauchavat. Kunjara shaucha means the bathing of an elephant. Kunjara means an elephant. Narova, kunjarova, you remember this? Who said that? Yudhishthira Maharaj, yes. So, the elephant takes a bath in a lake or a river, nicely, exerts much energy for the purpose, but comes out and starts rolling in the mud on the banks and becomes dirty immediately after taking the bath. So what is the point? Similarly, one may perform prayaschitta, atonement, for a sin and go out immediately and commit another sin. So what is the use? The other processes, apart from karma kanda like ashtanga yoga, jnana yoga also, are not very useful. They may settle down the sin for a while, but eventually it will come up when it's agitated. Imagine that there is a pond which has muddy water. If the water is not agitated, the mud will settle down and the water may appear to become very clean. But take a stick and agitate the water, what will happen? The mud will again rise and make the water muddy. Similarly, for those who practice the paths of Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, etc., it may appear that by the practice of their respective forms of yoga, their sinful tendencies have settled down, they're not there anymore, but actually they have not disappeared. They have settled down to the bottom of their hearts. And when there is some sense object that comes and agitates the consciousness, immediately the contamination comes up again. Like we see in the case of Saubhara Muni, who went down deep into the river in Yamuna to meditate. But he saw two fish mating. His mind was contaminated and he came out again. He ceased to perform his austerities. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of bed bugs. Sometimes beds have bugs and they bite the person who is sleeping and they suck the blood. And sometimes the person may get so agitated that he may try to find various ways to kill the bugs. And he may think that yes, now all the bugs are killed. But even though the bugs have been killed, some eggs may still be there. Very, very tiny eggs which we cannot see. At the proper time, in the proper season, given the right conditions, those eggs will bring forth new bugs, and they will once again bite the person who is sleeping on the bed. So similarly, by practice of yoga and other spiritual processes, it may appear that our sinful tendencies have gone, but actually they have not completely disappeared. At the proper time, when there is provocation from the sense objects, then again those tendencies will come to the surface. But bhakti yoga is not like that. When we study the Bhagavad Gita very devotionally and accept the devotional conclusions of the Gita in our life very seriously, then we will make a permanent solution to the sinful nature that has kept us bound here in this material world for innumerable births. Therefore, after Parikshit Maharaj speaks like this, Shukadev Goswami speaks a very famous verse, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha agham dhunvanti karchneena niharam iva bhaskaraha. He says, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya, by kevala bhakti, by unalloyed devotional service, vasudeva parayanaha, by loving devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, agham dhunvanti karchneena. Agham means sin, dhunvanti means destroyed, karchneena means completely, from the roots. So such devotional service which is unalloyed uproots not only the sins but even the sinful tendencies that are present in the hearts of the devotees. And the example is Niharam Iva Bhaskaraha. Just as a fog, a Nihar, is destroyed even before the sun has fully risen. Even at the just before dawn, by a few rays of the sun peeping over the horizon, the fog is dispelled. Similarly, just by the initial stages of bhakti, one's sinful tendencies also become destroyed. So here in this verse, we are told, Sakrat Gitamrita Snanam Sansara Malanashanam. By regularly bathing our consciousness in the nectarine words of the Bhagavad Gita and of the other scriptures and the holy name, we will be able to cleanse our consciousness of all the sinful tendencies. We will become completely pure at heart. So that is the purpose of studying Bhagavad Gita. So it must become a daily practice. There are many devotees who do this with great determination. I know one devotee who has been doing this practice for the last as long, perhaps more than 25 years. Studies the Bhagavad Gita one chapter every day for the last more than 20 years. Just reading carefully. So it won't take a very long time. So somehow or other, even if you're not able to read one chapter every day, but some book of Srila Prabhupada, we should try to study with great faith and care. And this will also help us to cleanse our consciousness. And simultaneously, of course, we must chant the holy names of the Lord, because that is ultimately the instruction, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatam Tascha Dhradavrata. That is the process of religion for this age. So by doing this, we will become free to go back to the spiritual world upon leaving this body. There are a few more verses. We'll do that tomorrow, and we'll conclude with the description of the disciplic succession. So we'll stop here. It's a little late. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
So even that suffering is going to body itself and mind, but not the soul is suffering.
So what is the need of feeling compassion?
The question is that all the experience of this world is like a dream. The happiness of this world is like a dream. Therefore, the suffering of this world is also like a dream. So what's wrong? Anyway, it's a dream. So why should we be so much worried about suffering of this world? And why should we be worried to reduce the suffering of others in this world? Absolutely right. If you're actually in that consciousness where you understand that this is a dream. How many of us really know that we are dreaming? How many of us really have experienced and realized that we are dreaming? And even if it's a dream, a bad dream is called a nightmare. So even in a dream you suffer. So why should you unnecessarily have a bad dream? Of course, we shouldn't go for the dream happiness. But we should know that ultimately, so long as we continue to exist in the dream, it's going to be a nightmare. So long as we identify with the body, we're going to continue in this situation. We have an opportunity to wake up. To wake up to the eternal reality of blissful life, where we need not take shelter of the happiness and distress of dreams. So yes, it is a fact that the suffering and the happiness of this world is like in a dream. And the goal of life is to wake up from this dream. Any other question? Yes.
What about this recitation? For example, if you recite slower than concentration, there are some people who don't really understand the Bhagavad Gita. Is it wrong to read?
The question is, how should we recite the Bhagavad Gita? Some devotees read only the verses in the translation. Some read also the purport. What should we do? Well, we should understand the translations, we should understand the purports, definitely. And at least one time we should all have read the Bhagavad Gita completely, cover to cover. And by the time you've reached the end of the Bhagavad Gita, probably it's time to start again. So, it's good to study the purports of Prabhupada, you get a very deep understanding. At the same time, as an extra effort, not as a substitute for reading the purports, one can, if one likes, if one has a taste for memorizing verses and for chanting verses, then one may certainly read the verses by themselves. Many devotees do this. They have these small little books where they have all the verses and they keep on reciting at different times. When you're walking on the street, you're waiting in the train station, or you're getting ready to come to Mangal Arati, chant either the holy name or you chant some verses. Any other questions? Yes. The question is, it was mentioned that the 9th chapter talks about the most confidential knowledge. So what about the 12th chapter, which is actually called Bhakti Yoga? Well, it's not only the 9th chapter. Beginning from the 9th chapter, Krishna explains many things. 9th chapter because many of the confidential verses are there. Even the famous, which is the famous Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam verse. Many, many nice, beautiful verses are there which extol the glories of pure devotional service. Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter also has, certainly, much glorification of devotional service. But for that matter, every chapter has. However, in particular, because Krishna has used the words Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshami anusuyave, so then this chapter is titled The Most Confidential Knowledge. Yes.
Chapter,
The question is that in the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna explains that I will now explain things that are better than what I have explained before. Of course, every chapter is better than the other chapter. But yes, in principle, it's essentially the same. Krishna is expounding the same theme. It's all confidential knowledge, because it deals with the intricacies of devotional service. It deals with the glories of Krishna. It's only a devotee who can really understand the glories of Krishna. So even when Krishna is glorified, we have to understand it in a devotional way. Any other comments or questions? Okay, so we will stop here and we will meet tomorrow at 5:30. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So please bring the sheets with you tomorrow also, and you can keep it thereafter. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.